The Gemara in the Sanhedrin and Aflamid has an interesting discussion about the nusach with which the judges deliver their conclusion to the litigants. Rabbi Yochanan says that they just say, you've won and you've lost. Rish Lakish, in contrast, says that we write down the names of which judges voted for one person to win and which judges voted for the other person to win. And Rabbi Elazar says that we have to indicate whether the psak din was unanimous or whether the psak din was a divided decision, but we do not indicate who voted which way, even if we indicate that it's divided. Now this is a very interesting shita. The Gemara explains that it's informed by the concern lest there be rechilos, lest we sort of tell a tale about one judge which will cause one of the litigants to hate him or to act unkindly towards him. And therefore, we cannot specify the names of the judges. But at the same time, Rabbi Elazar says, "Michsi kishikra." We're afraid that it'll look like a lie. We're afraid that it'll appear false if we give the indication that it was a unanimous psak, whereas in reality, it is not a unanimous psak. This is what Rabbi Elazar says, that there's a significant difference between a unanimous psak and a divided psak, and that it would have the appearance of falsehood to give the impression that the psak was unanimous, when in fact it was divided. And indeed, the Gemara tells us immediately prior to this that there's a concrete nafkamina between a unanimous psak and a divided psak, and that is that in the case of a unanimous psak, so which was incorrect, then the litigant who lost is entitled to claim the entire sum that he lost from the dayanim, split equally between all the dayanim. That's in a case of a unanimous psak. However, in a case where there was a divided psak, where some dayanim voted correctly, but they were outnumbered by the dayanim who voted incorrectly, under such circumstances, the litigant who unfairly lost his money is not entitled to reclaim the full amount that he lost. He's only entitled to reclaim the percentage, 66%, let's say, in a basin of three, from those dayanim who voted incorrectly. But the dayan who voted correctly is not required to reimburse the litigant who lost on account of the majority's decision. So there's a concrete nafkamina between a unanimous psak and a divided psak. There's a number of other sugyos which also seem to indicate that there are significant differences between unanimous and non-unanimous psakim. One of them that we encountered earlier in the Masechta was the case of Ibur Hashanah, of creating an extra month in the year, where according to most Rishonim, we begin the discussion with three judges, and we continue the discussion with five, and we can only take a final vote when seven judges are present. However, the Yad Ramah has a novel reading based on an inference from a Braisa in that sugya of Ibur Hashanah, and the Ramah makes the following psak halacha. The Ramah tells us that the only time that we need five judges for the intermediate stage and seven judges for the conclusion of the discussion of Ibur Hashanah is when the initial three judges differ and disagree about whether or not to be Ma'abar the year. However, when the initial three judges are unanimous in their agreement that the year should become a leap year, then we don't even need to add on five or seven. So this is incredible. A unanimous decision suffices with three judges. The year can be mu'ubar based on three judges. It's only if the decision is divided that we have a requirement of adding on another two or another four judges. So another concrete nafkamina between unanimous decisions and those that are not unanimous. There are other discussions that can be brought to bear on this. There's a discussion in Maseches Horios about what happens that the Sanhedrin makes an incorrect psak, and the majority of the tzibur that lives in Eretz Yisrael acts based on that psak. So then, instead of each individual bringing a karban chatos, the Sanhedrin brings a karban chatos on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us this only applies when there's a unanimous decision, when all 71 judges of the Beis Din HaGadol issue this psak. However, when it's a split decision, when even one dayan dissents, so then each individual, even if the majority of Klal Yisrael acted based on this psak, if one dayan dissented, that's already sufficient to make it impossible to bring a communal or a collective parhel and davar chal tzibur, and we have to every individual who did this Aveira based on the psak of the majority of Dayanim has to bring their own Karban Chatos. We could bring other examples also. If you recall in the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara discussed whether you need unanimity in Psak Halacha or whether you do not need unanimity in Psak Halacha, and especially Dinei Mamonos and Dinei Nefashos. And the Gemara's conclusion on Daf Gimel Amud Beis was fascinating. The Gemara sounded like the following. Had the Torah not been given, what we call in Beis Medrash a Svara Chitzona, the outside Svara, the Svara, from outside of the Torah's perspective. So from that perspective, from the Svara Chitzona, had the Torah not been given, you would need a unanimous psak, a divided psak, or a hung jury, that would be insufficient to convict anybody. It would also be insufficient to resolve Dini Mamonis. The Gemara said there's a chiddush in the pasuk. Acharei Rabim Lahatos. We follow the majority. We follow the majority, so now we can convict based on a rove, based on a majority. And there was even a shita in the Gemara that said that this idea that we follow a majority, that we don't require unanimous consent, is only by dini nefashos. It's only by capital cases, or maybe cases that relate to punishments, corporal punishments in a person's body. But one, this opinion said that when it comes to dini mamonos, when it comes to monetary cases, perhaps civil cases, we certainly would require unanimous consent, and we would never take money away from one person and give it to somebody else without unanimous consent. And they would have to keep on going to the courts until they found a unanimous court. And if they never found a unanimous court, even if the majority thinks that we should take the money away from the one who has it and give it to the one who doesn't, because the one who doesn't have it deserves it, the majority is insufficient to do that. You would require unanimous consent. We paskin that no, acharei rabim lahatos applies both to dinei nefashos and to dinei mamonos. But there certainly is a svara chitzona that we should require unanimity everywhere, and there's even a Tana who holds that by dinei mamonos lemaskana, even with the gzeiras hakasuv of acharei rabim lahatos, that we need unanimity. So this is a very interesting idea, and it creates the following problem, which needs to be addressed. And that is a problem which Tosfos in Bava Kamma raises. We know, let's say, that there's a dispute between two litigants. And this dispute, one litigant claims the money is mine, and the other one claims the money is his. And let's say that Reuven is holding the money, Shimon is trying to take the money away from Reuven. Now, let's say furthermore that this same dispute between Reuven and Shimon about who deserves the money is a matter of dispute amongst the poskim. Let's say that the Rashba holds that Reuven, who's holding the money, deserves it, and the Rosh holds that Shimon deserves it. So what we say is that Reuven can say, I hold of the Rashba, so I'm keeping the money. And even though maybe, let's say, the Rosh disagrees, even let's say if most Rishonim disagree with the Rashba, Reuven is still entitled to say, I hold of the Rashba, even though the Rashba is a minority, and therefore I'm not relinquishing the money. And this is an example of the rule of Ein Holchin B'Mamon Achar Harov, that we don't follow a majority in Hilchos Mamonos, but in Hilchos Mamonos, the person who's holding on to the money can demand that we give him his rights because he holds of the minority opinion. So the question that arises is, what about a Beis Din? Why is it that a split psak in Beis Din, that we can follow the majority opinion, why can't the one who's holding on to the money say, Ein holchim b'mamon achar harov, we don't follow the majority by dini mamonos, and I hold of that single judge out of three who holds that I deserve the money, so I'm not going to relinquish the money. The same way that if there's a machlokes between rov poskim and miot poskim, the muchzak, the one who's holding on to the money, can claim I hold of the miot and I'm keeping the money. So too, when there's a machlokes between rov dayanim and miot dayanim, the one who's holding on to the money, what to be able to claim? I hold like the miot, like the minority of dayanim, and therefore I'm not relinquishing the money. So to that, Tosfos says, yes. In a case when it's just a machlokes haposkim, when most svarim say this way and some say that way, so then there's a rov that exists and a miot that exists. However, when it's a Beis Din, so we consider that the miot is batel berov. And what that means is that it's as if the miot doesn't exist. Oh, so that means, in other words, There's different formulations of this. The different formulations. It's as if the miyot doesn't exist. So does that mean that we have a unanimous decision on the part of all the dayanim who remain? Perhaps. Does it mean that we have a unanimous decision including the dayanim who said otherwise? Because just like, for example, if a drop of milk fell into a pat of meat, so we say the entire mixture is kosher. We say that the milk is batel berov. Let's say there's 60 midir raisa, let's say batel berov. You know, midir abanam, we need 1 in 60, but whatever it is, we don't say that you have to leave over a tiny bit at the end. We say that the whole mixture is mutter because the milk loses its identity in the majority of meat. So the same thing. This dayon who says that this guy is entitled to the money, he loses his identity, he loses his voice, he loses his opinion in the majority of dayanim who are against him. And therefore, it's either as if he's no longer there or as if his opinion, which was against the majority, reverses itself or metamorphoses into the opinion of the majority. So in that case, it seems like there's an idea of bitul barov, and then in the end of the day, so we require unanimous consent, just that when there's a split between the majority and the minority within a beis din, we consider that as if there is unanimous consent. So this has to be resolved. I think that there is a good resolution for this, that it could be that there's a difference between a real, you know, unanimity, a real call, a real 100% decision, and a 100% decision which is created by nullifying the identity of the minority in the majority. I think that there's a similar musik also by Basar Bachalov. I think that there's a discussion that when we say that something is batal barov, is it really entirely the same as something which is entirely, you know, meat? Or do we say that no, that even though it's batal barov and the milk loses its identity, but it still is not quite the same, it's a new chafza. So I think that we could say also by a case of Dayanos, it is a new chafza. It's a new chafza which has a din of being a unanimous decision, but it's not the same as a natural and a real unanimous decision, and that may account for some of the nakaminas that we mentioned. I think there are other ways to get out of this also, but I just thought it was worth the discussion about the significance of unanimity in Psak Halacha, or at least in court cases, or the lack thereof.